The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks, let's get right into it today. Hello, everybody. So glad that you have joined us today on what could be a very important day in the future of this country, and what could very well be a defining moment as we begin the journey towards the midterm elections. So over the weekend, there was a lot of news that dropped, news that will impact the midterm elections, news that should, quite frankly, impact every single person listening to this radio program. Word came out from John Durham, the special counsel, that he believes that he has evidence, he has the goods on the Clinton campaign. And John Durham filed a motion in federal court alleging that the Clinton administration hired a tech firm to spy not only on the Trump campaign, but also to spy on President Trump inside the Oval Office. Now, understand what we're telling you. This is a massive story. And the allegation is that this tech firm was trying to infiltrate the White House so they could spy on President Trump. This is a story that makes Watergate look like some sort of a shoplifting incident. I mean, in the scope, in the magnitude of what happened, this is a massive deal. And we're going to get through this. We're going to be talking with a lot of folks, including we're going to be chatting with our good friend Monica Crowley and Jeffrey Lord, who have been covering this story from day one. And years ago, Monica Crowley told me on this program while I was at Fox News that this would be an earth-shattering investigation. And the idea that you could have Hillary Clinton hiring a tech firm to fabricate evidence to make it appear as if Trump was colluding with the Russians, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a high crime and a misdemeanor. I will even take it a step further, and this item that I wrote on Twitter went incredibly viral over the weekend, something like 50, 60,000 shares. I said flat out, and I believe this to be true, that what Hillary Rodham Clinton, Mrs. Bill Clinton, has done, and the Democrats, they have waged a political insurrection against the President of the United States. And I suspect it was very successful based on what happened in the 2020 presidential election. Going through and reading John Durham's report, and I've got a copy of it, and we're going to go through this together on the show today. I have no doubt that there were shenanigans in the 2020 presidential election. And when you hear what John Durham has found, you will understand why President Trump is still hung up on all of this. Because he has been wronged, and they must be brought to justice. Now, the president's catching a lot of flack because of something he wrote on, he put out a statement yesterday, a couple of statements, multiple statements. He's really fired up about this, and well, he should be. I mean, they tried to portray this man as an enemy of America, someone who was colluding with our enemies, when in fact the exact opposite was true. He has every right to be infuriated over this. And you do too. But the mainstream media has taken a pass here. Folks, this is just shocking. You would expect this from the New York Times and ABC and CBS and NBC and MSDNC and CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Good morning, Joe Brown, Judge. Thank you. You would expect that. But even then, this is such a story of significance that they have taken a pass on it. And why have they? Why is it that only Newsmax and Fox News are covering this story? Why is that? Well, the answer is very simple. It's because the mainstream media created a narrative. They wanted to take out Donald Trump. They wanted to destroy Donald Trump as much as Hillary Clinton did. And they're not going to sway from that narrative. Because for them to now admit they were wrong, it means the entire premise of their hatred of Donald Trump and his administration, all of it, would have to go away. And here we are. I want to go back and play some audio for you. This is Donald Trump on 60 Minutes. Leslie Stahl is the interviewer. And this is, I think this encapsulates all of the hate and the vitriol and the disbelief directed at this president. Take a listen.
So the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
No, you won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
that. It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay.
No, they don't want to know that. And that's the problem. They don't want to know it. They don't want to do their jobs. They've already have a preconceived notion of who Donald Trump is. And the reality is everything, every single thing that Trump told us, whether it about Hillary, about Russia and the Ukraine, about the Democrats, about the rhinos. And man almighty, do I have some information to share with you about what the rhinos are doing, about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the Biden crime syndicate. It's all true. Everything he said has turned out to be true. You may not like the way he presented the truth, but it's the truth. It turned out to be spot on accurate. So the president is pointing out something very interesting here, and I want you to think about this. I'm going to read a line here. This is from the president's statement. We've got the entire thing on the website, toddstearns.com. Can you imagine that? What should be the biggest story of our time, bigger than Watergate, is getting absolutely no mention, zero. And the New York Times, Washington Post, ABC fake news, NBC fake news, CBS fake news, ratings dead, CNN, and MSDNC. This in itself is a scandal. The fact that a story so big, so powerful, and so important for the future of our nation is getting zero coverage from lamestream is being talked about all over the world. Just like they wouldn't talk about the many Biden corruption scandals prior to the election. Now, the president goes on to say something else here. And yesterday he alluded to the fact that these are crimes that are punishable by execution. I mean, we're talking about serious, serious crimes that have been committed here. President Trump goes on to say, can you imagine if the roles were reversed and the Republicans, in particular, President Donald Trump, got caught illegally spying into the office of the president? All hell would break loose and the electric chair would immediately come out of retirement. You know, he's got a point here. But again, he's catching all sorts of hate because he's suggesting that Hillary Clinton and whoever else was behind all of this should face the death penalty. Well, should they? I mean, if in fact the allegations that John Durham is making in this document. Folks, this is a direct assault on the Republic. This was an attempt. This was an attempt to sabotage a political campaign. This was an attempt, and quite frankly, I would say a successful attempt to destroy the presidency of Donald Trump. And it all turned out to be a lie. Now, somebody's got to pay for this. Somebody's got to go to jail for this. But when you step back and when you look at the people involved, by the way, Jake Sullivan was Hillary Clinton's contact there. He is at the State Department right now. I'm sorry, he's at the White House right now. Where is he? We can only hope that at today's press briefing, somebody grills Jen Psaki on all of this, but nobody's covering the story, folks, and they're not going to because they know they've been caught. By the way, Mark Levin, the great one, and I love Levin. He's had me on his show a couple of times when I was back at Fox. Mark Levin has been warning people like we have about the notion that somebody was spying on Donald Trump. Folks, this was an effort to sabotage a campaign, and then when that did not work, they wanted to wage, this is a cyber attack on Donald Trump, a cyber coup. They wanted to unseat a duly elected president of these United States. This is shocking, but nobody wants to talk about it. You heard the president compare it to Watergate. Just think about this. It would be as if, going back to Watergate, it would be as if Woodward and Bernstein were actually defending Richard Nixon and the people responsible for the break-in. I mean, that's where we are in American journalism right now. Completely worthless propagandist. That's all it is. So it turns out that this really was the real insurrection, as we pointed out on social media over the weekend. All right, look, we've got so much to go through today, including a growing attempt inside the Republican Party to stop Trump from running in 2024. And this is unbelievable what's happening. We've got it all here. We have some great guests coming up to give us analysis on what's happening, what are the next steps. This is an important story, folks, and you're not going to hear about it on the evening news. You're going to hear about it here. We're going to talk about it and try to provide you with all of the info that we're getting, and we're going to share that with you. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. What do you think ought to happen here? Should Hillary be arrested? Should her campaign team be arrested? Should they stand trial? What should happen here? This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Wow, by the way, congratulations to the St. Louis Rams. It was, you know, I watched the game, and some people have been saying, well, Starnes, why are you watching the Super Bowl? Well, the answer is very simple. They stopped taking a knee, and they started behaving themselves during the national anthem, and there are some good guys that are playing on both of those teams, the Cincinnati Bengals and the St. Louis. I keep calling them St. Louis. They're the Los Angeles Rams. But anyway, good Christian guys, and I thought it was a good game. That halftime show, it's interesting. Charlie Kirk is catching some fire. Grace, I don't know if you saw this. Charlie's the Turning Point USA guy. And he said that he was very offended because it was sexual anarchy up on the stage.
I saw that.
Did you catch that?
He was trending on Twitter. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I saluted the NFL for a family-friendly halftime show. Rather facetiously.
Oof.
But I'm not sure it actually, I mean, I'm not, I don't think it was sexual anarchy.
No, the thing is, it's like, did you not watch this, you know, a couple years ago, Miami? That one was way more promiscuous.
Yes. And for the record, I mean, God bless all those, you know, feminists out there marching around in the 1970s in their hemp sweaters and their Birkenstocks and Mexican man shoes, unshaven.
Ew.
You know, they pounded the pavement for a very long time so that modern-day women could bump and grind and writhe on a stage like that in front of God, country, and their mothers.
Progress.
Right. It is progress. But I didn't like that music back. This is the Gen X. It was like the Gen X Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really into that. I was more, you know, country growing up. And
I've never liked country music.
I know. Go stay in the corner.
I'm sorry. Right.
But anyway, Grace, there was a bit of controversy. They were performing. By the way, Mickey Guyton is the country music artist who sang the national anthem.
Yes.
And it was just beautiful.
It was
so well done. Of course, nobody's going to top Whitney Houston back in the day. I think that was the benchmark.
It's Whitney Houston.
Right. Exactly.
She's on her own
but it was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So they also did the Black national anthem.
Yes.
And this is interesting because, and we were the first to point this out to people. Wait a second. They're not singing that song in the stadium.
Yep.
The NFL.
I kept looking for it. I was like, oh.
Right. So the NFL made the gospel singers is a group called Mary Mary. And they got, I think I've got a couple of their songs on my playlist. They're good singers.
Sure.
Mary Mary had to perform that song out in the parking lot.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You know why they did, though? They were in the stadium. People would have booed.
Well, of course they would have booed. Even in California, Los Angeles, Southern California, they would have booed. So anyway, all the activists are up in arms, and they're acting like, you know, somebody actually said, well, did they have to drink out of a separate water fountain? I'm like, what?
Oh, gosh.
So here's
go ahead.
So I took a nap yesterday, and I woke up late, so I had to catch up on all of this. And so that's why I was hoping the Twitter crowd could help me out. So I just wrote something fairly innocent. I didn't mean to trigger half the country. But I said, who sang the Asian American national anthem? Who sang that one? Who sang the Hispanic national anthem? By the way, who sang the Native American national anthem?
Well, that's what I don't get. Why are there a bunch of different versions? It's just going to be next thing you know, the pregame's going to take like an hour.
Well, it will because this is where we're going. Who is the Asian actress? She's very funny. It's not Aqua Velvet, Aquanet, Aquafina, Aquafina. I forget her name.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about, and she's great.
So she's coming under fire now. So now the Asian Americans are coming under fire from the activist. It's not Aquanet. It's
Aquafina.
Okay, thank you. All right. Aquaman. No, that's not it.
She's actually a really great actress.
She's hilarious.
She's so funny.
But she uses a black accent. And she's coming under fire for that. So all that to say, there will not be an Asian American anthem. And the whole reason, look, this is about dividing the country. We've got a perfectly good national anthem. Nobody can sing it except for professionals. We get it. But that's the challenge, you know, is to get out there and just let her rip. That's America. By the way, did you see all the pictures? We've got video. All the Hollywood celebrities, nobody wearing a face mask.
I didn't see anybody.
Not a single person.
No.
As a matter of fact, I got a text message from some friends who were at the Super Bowl last night. They said, Todd, don't mention our names, but we had tickets. We walked in. Nobody asked to see our China virus vaccine status. They didn't ask to see our cards. Nobody asked to see our papers. They gave us one of the masks. Nobody told us to wear the mask. It was just like going to a regular football game. Folks, I think people are so done here. I really do. God bless all those 70,000 fans for taking a stand for freedom last night. And the celebs, too. All right, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hi, friends. Todd Starnes here, officially inviting you to join me and over 2 million other active AMAC members nationwide. We've made AMAC America's largest organization for conservative seniors. We really dodged a bullet in January, scoring victories that stopped the big spending Build Back Better scheme, and we saved the filibuster from liberal mischief that would have hurt our seniors. But many battles lie ahead. And it's more important than ever that you add your name to AMAC's membership roster. So I'm personally urging you to choose AMAC now. You not only get great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, but at the same time, your membership will support your values. Go to amac.us/starnes today to start your discounts. That's amac.us/starnes to become an AMAC member like me. They need you, and America needs AMAC. Go to amac.us/darns today to start your discounts. Happy Valentine's Day to you, America. And I know, Grace Baker, you've already been out on the Valentine's date.
Yeah, because, you know, Valentine's Day on a Monday, it's kind of not the same.
It's a little
weird. It's a little weird. And the Super Bowl yesterday.
Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, I know.
That's good. Did you have a big Super Bowl party last night?
We went over to a friend's house, so I didn't have to host it. But, you know, I made chocolate-covered pretzels.
Oh, that's nice. Those are always delicious. Kyle, did you sample any of the smoked wings that Kyle made last night?
Oh, man, they were so good.
Wow.
Yeah, I had the buffalo one. It was really good.
Good stuff. I'm not big on the sauces on the wings. I just like a good smoked wing, and it was very good.
So, he's quite the chef.
Quite the chef here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. But anyway, good value. So was Mr. Producer good to you?
Oh, yeah. He got me flowers from
that's
Pew's
good.
Flowers.
Well, that's always good.
And he got me a necklace. And then we went out to eat, and we got some, you know, dessert and drinks, and it was a nice time.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
Interesting story, by the way, about Valentine's Day. By the way, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. A school in Providence, Rhode Island, is telling the children that they cannot have Valentine's Day cards, Grace Baker, for boys who like girls or girls who like boys. You can't. It's got to be gender neutral, and you cannot have cards that portray only white people.
Wow.
So the television station WJAR was sent an email message from a parent. The parent just forwarded along something they received from the school, telling them that it's a big problem, and that if your child, and I'm going to read some of the rules and regulations here. This is fascinating. If your child would like to bring cards for classmates, please bring a card for every other child in the pod or in the grade. What happens if little Susie doesn't like everybody? I mean, why would she? It seems to me that you're forcing little Susie to do something she doesn't want to do. Hashtag what the heck, America.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, it's like, you know, you give one of those Valentines to somebody. It says like, I love you. You're great. But what if you don't really think they're great?
That's right. Or what if, I mean...
You're lying.
It's exactly. This is the Moses Brown Lower School. Sounds like one of those hoity-toity places. Please coach your child, if purchasing commercially produced cards, to select something that does not feel gender normative. So, in other words, maybe you're the four-year-old in preschool is a little boy who likes a little boy. This is according to the school now, not Todd Stearns. They say it would be weird. So, do they just recommend having like little animal creatures, like little creatures of the forest?
I'll say I always choose the ones with dogs on them, but I've always done that.
Speaking of that, by the way, I raised this issue, and somebody needs to help me out here in our audience.
No.
I'm trying to be I'm a pretty good tech guy. I mean, I can work my way around computers and got the new iPhone 13 finally. But I'm having a problem with Instagram. So now, Grace Baker, I told you that for the past couple of weeks, I had the photos of the mother cats nursing their kittens.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Now I've got mother birds that are feeding their like little birdies.
I think Instagram's trying to send you some kind of a message.
What is going on here? And I can't get rid of these. How do I get rid of these photos? I don't want to see these videos.
You're going to need to just go through and follow a bunch of accounts that like have nothing to do with that, like sports and manly stuff.
Well, I got the sports stuff.
But do you watch the video when it pops up?
So I did, only because there was this cat that got really upset because I guess the family had puppies, and the puppies decided to belly up to Mama's bar, and the cat wasn't having anything to do with it. That was fairly entertaining.
Well, I guess the algorithm thought, well, you watched one, you want to watch 20 more?
No, I don't. And I don't want to see a bird feeding grasshoppers to like little baby birds.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Todd. Can't help you there.
Also, consider talking to your child about avoiding cards that portray only white human characters. Representation matters, and our students of color also deserve to see themselves in some of the cards they receive, unless we can find cards without people pictured at all.
Man, I know. Again, you would just go, well, might as well just get the ones with dogs or cats on them.
Speaking of that, did you the Super Bowl commercials?
They were fine.
No, all right. I didn't think there was anything like, wow, that was hilarious.
I like the Disney Plus commercial.
I missed
with
that
the goats.
One. Oh,
was
it? Well,
there were goats everywhere.
So is that like greatest of all time? Or
yeah,
were
but there were literal goats.
Oh, they were literally goats.
But that's
nowadays,
what made
you have
it funny.
To ask. So Google was had an ad for their camera. Did you see the Google? Is it Google Pixel? Is that? Yeah.
Oh,
the,
yeah. Yep.
So the whole point of the commercial was apparently my camera is racist. And so the whole premise of the commercial is that when you take a picture of someone who maybe mm-hmm. has a darker complexion, you can't see that person.
Yeah, it's not going to show up as well.
At the same time, and they didn't want to mention this because this would go against their narrative, that all cameras are racist. At the same time, white people have the same problem because sometimes our faces get washed out.
Sometimes I look pale as a ghost.
Well, you kind of do. You need a little about, you know, I was thinking about the other day. You need to get some sun this summer.
Wow.
Just, you know.
Okay.
Look healthy. It was just a thought. A passing fleeting. Just let it go, Grace. Just let it go. So anyway, I'm watching this commercial, and I'm like, geez, Lou, I had no idea my camera was racist. And but then again, I thought, wait a second. That's why you have a flash. Right? Because that brightens everything up, or, you know, it makes, you know, white people's faces not, you know, wash out.
Yeah, I like the flash on my camera.
Someone asked after the, because it was really funny watching all the responses. Someone wanted to know if that camera, the Google Pixel camera, was good for Democrats who are white but are dressed in blackface.
No comment.
I love it. Anyway, back to the story here from Rhode Island. Valentine's Day celebration at the lower school should have a focus on friendship and fun. No, they took all the fun out of it.
Fun suckers.
Please join us in trying to avoid the romantic crush themes that can dominate the day for older students, because that's what it is. The little boys and girls are learning, and they're, you know, holding hands and passing the little delicious heart-shaped candies that say, be mine. You know, what's wrong with that?
A little bumblebee.
Anyway, locals in the community are a little upset about all of this stuff, and they say, why can't we just let the kids be kids? The local TV station went out to interview the NAACP, because they got nothing else to do. The NAACP president, Jim Vincent, says there's a larger issue, a lack of diverse options students have to pick from on store shelves. Okay, well, call Hallmark. What does that have to do with anything? Makes no sense at all. Unbelievable.
Everyone's just overthinking everything and ruining anything.
They ruin everything. Some guy, he writes for the New York Times, and he was on Twitter. And he was watching the football game, to your point. I guess the child was, I think 8 years old. All right, Grace?
Okay.
Now, when you were 8 years old, what were you doing on Super Bowl Sunday?
What were you doing on Super Bowl Sunday, Grace? Eating snacks.
Were you watching the football game?
Not really.
You're 8 years old.
Yeah.
So you're probably up and around and doing all sorts of other things. So this guy, this journalist, and I'm trying to pull up the story here, so I want to make sure I get the guy's name correctly before we disparage him on national radio. But this guy was very concerned because his son was just not all that engaged in the football game. Noah Scheiber is his name. He is a journalist at the New York Times, a labor reporter. So you know the guy's a leftist loon. And he also is an author. So he says, and he posted this conversation he had between himself and his eight-year-old before the Super Bowl. Here's what he said. Son, who do you want to win, the Bengals or the Rams? The son replies, what difference does it make? It's not like the winner is going to solve climate change.
No, he didn't.
And then the dad says Super Bowl weekend in the Scheiber Sullivan household. Oh, it's one of those hyphenated households. We know who wears the pants in that family.
Oh, gosh.
Noam Scheiber says Super Bowl weekend in the Scheiber Sullivan household got heavy real quick. First of all, I don't believe that is true.
Well, no, I believe that he heard it from his dad.
That's exactly
it.
That's it.
He didn't make that up. He didn't just hear that in school and go home. That or he heard it from someone else, another kid who heard it from their parent.
Maybe.
Like, you know, it's all a game of telephone.
Lied. Regardless, what a horrible household to be brought up in.
Sounds, again, fun suckers.
They're sucking. No, to your point, Grace, the leftists are sucking the joy out of childhood. And to that point, do you know what happened this morning in Los Angeles? Aside from the burning of the what's left of downtown after the riots last night?
No, that was the only thing I knew of.
All right. So children woke up, they had to go to school, and they had to wear a face burqa on their face.
But I thought the celebrities didn't wear any yesterday with 70,000 people around.
Nobody did. Nobody. By the way, did you see Don Jr.? You know, I love Don Jr. He's a brilliant guy, Don Trump Jr. He posted a photograph of Ellen DeGeneres at the games.
Oh, I did see that picture.
And said, here's Eminem getting ready for the big show.
No.
They do look alike. It's kind of like Rachel Maddow and the...
Rachel Maddow and the girl that follows her.
It's a guy. The guy, Chris Hayes. Maddow and Chris Hayes kind of look like the Bobbsey twins. Very similar in comparison. So anyway, to the point, right now in Los Angeles, you have thousands of school children that are being abused in their classrooms, being forced to wear these face masks. Yesterday, you've got 70,000 people, God and country, including Mayor Eric Garcetti, who apparently can now hold his breath for 45 minutes.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
He's trying out for the swim team.
Or become like a Navy SEAL. And I am so impressed with the celebrities out there who were able to risk their lives by running around, drinking booze, eating the hot wings, and having a good time without wearing a mask, along with everybody else in that stadium. Over 70,000 people. Unbelievable. And quite frankly, every child in the Los Angeles school district should have shown up for class today without a mask on. And said, if you got a problem, go to the mayor's office. This is the double standard. But again,
yeah, it's frustrating.
They are raising a generation. Now, folks, I want you to think about this for just a moment. We've got to take a break here. I want you to think about this. Have you thought for a moment that maybe, just maybe, ordering the children to wear the face masks has nothing to do with the China virus at all? It has nothing to do with public safety. It has everything to do with conditioning a generation of young children to obey the government. Now, you think about that for a moment. They're going after the smallest of the children here, and they are conditioning these children. This is, remember what they were talking about in the early days of the pandemic, talking about the new normal. This is the new normal. They want these children to know there has been no other way. You, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, when these kids are in sixth grade going into middle school, they will be wearing those masks because that's what they've been trained to do, indoctrinated to do. That's what I think is going on here. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're broadcasting from our Liberty University studios here in Memphis, Tennessee. Folks, now more than ever, it is so important that we support companies that share our values. That's why I love Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They've got great beliefs, and I share those beliefs, and they donate a portion of every dollar they get to organizations that fight for those causes that we care about so very much. By the way, Patriot Mobile, they've got the broadest nationwide coverage. I have heard from so many of you who have already made the switch, and you're telling me you love the service you're getting from Patriot Mobile. They have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or small. And if you are a veteran or a first responder, Patriot Mobile is going to provide you with an additional great discount. By the way, if you use my promo code, Todd, you're going to get free activation and a free gift. And it's super easy to do, folks. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And when you do, be sure to give them my promo code, Todd, T-O-D-D. All right, coming up, we've got some great guests. Monica Crowley and Jeffrey Lord are going to be here. We're going to be talking to some folks up on Capitol Hill about the latest Durham bombshell that dropped over the weekend. By the way, there is also a controversy brewing within the Republican Party. We are getting word, and this is from the reporting of the New York Times, that President Bush is working quietly behind the scenes with Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, and Lisa Murkowski, among other prominent Rhino Republicans, to take out President Trump and his picks for the midterm elections. So we're talking about the Republican Party at war with itself. We're going to get into this reporting from the New York Times, and it is pretty substantial. And Liz Cheney, on the other hand, is out there. She's not even campaigning in Wyoming. Instead, Liz Cheney is out there meeting with members of the press corps. She refuses to go and campaign in front of Republican voters. Instead, she's hanging out with the press corps. We're going to get into that story hopefully in the next hour. May have to hold that over until the third hour. But my question to you is this. Who do you stand with? I mean, Republicans, there will be a time of choosing coming. Do you stand with George W. Bush and Mitt Romney and Mitch McConnell, or do you stand with Donald Trump? Now, I will say this. Trump's got a problem. Whoever is giving him advice, and I suspect it's Jared and Ivanka, whoever is giving him advice in some of these local congressional races is not doing the president any favors, none whatsoever. And we're dealing with that here in the state of Tennessee right now with a brutal battle going on for a congressional race in the Nashville area. But again, who do you stand with? Do you stand with George W. Bush and Mitch McConnell, or do you stand with Donald Trump? 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls on this. That's 844-747-8868. I will say this, and both sides need to pay very close attention here. Only one person has been able to unite the Republican Party, and that person is Donald Trump. You take him out of the equation, I'm not sure what's going to happen in the midterms. It could get pretty ugly. So they need to think long and hard before they want to have some sort of an open civil war in the party. Got to take a break here, folks. ToddStearns.com is our website. We are broadcasting from the Liberty University studios. We'll be right back, America. Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for folks like me. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. Now, Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you're going to get 60% off the Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You will also receive a set for as low as $39.99. For a limited time with any purchase, you also get Mike's softcover book free when you use the promo code STARNS. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. Along with this offer, you're also going to get some deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the mattress topper and the towel sets. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show on what is a very important day in American history. Over the weekend, we learned that John Durham has the goods, and we have a copy of his filing in federal court alleging that he has evidence that the Clinton campaign spied on Donald Trump's campaign and then inside the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Congressman Jim Jordan is enraged over all of this. He says this is as wrong as it gets. He says that the Democrats have spied on a sitting president. Meanwhile, the media, I'm just stunned by this. The media has completely ignored the story. It's unbelievable. This is not some conjecture here. This is an official document filed in federal court. And yet the mainstream media is taking a pass. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines. We have two of the brightest minds in politics to discuss this and the ramifications and the implications. We have a former member of the Trump administration, our good friend, the great Monica Crowley. Monica, good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Todd. Thank you.
And we also have one of the best columnists out there, an incredible author and a great American patriot, our good friend, Jeffrey Lord. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Todd, and it's good to be with my old pal, Monica.
Same to you, Jeff.
Yeah, it's like a reunion here on the program. You know, Monica, I want to go back to when I was at Fox News Channel, and you were on my program right before you joined the administration, and you told me that the reports you were hearing were going to blow people's minds. And here we are now. Your reaction to what Durham has found.
Well, you know, I think all of us here on this call and everybody listening to your show today, Todd, suspected and essentially knew on a visceral level that there was a lot more to this story. President Trump has constantly and relentlessly been proven correct about all of his assertions about what was done to him in 2015, 2016, through this very moment that we're doing this show, they are still attacking him. And he was roundly mocked and criticized and attacked for saying that they were spying on me. I'll never forget in early March of 2017, he went on a Twitter tirade. He was already president, but he went on a tirade on Twitter talking about how his opponents had wiretapped Trump Tower during the campaign. And I'll never forget the explosion of mockery and derision, like Trump is crazy. He said he doesn't know what he's talking about. This is insane. And I remember saying both publicly and privately, if Trump is saying this, he knows something that the rest of us do not know. So do not dismiss it. Don't mock it. Understand that he is ahead of this story. Well, now we've got even more information and more details to connect these dots, that what they did to him wasn't just during the campaign when he was a political opponent, which would have been bad enough, but they continued to spy on him by hacking into White House computers to monitor his email and internet traffic while he was president of the United States. I have to say, guys, I had worked my very first job. I had worked for former President Richard Nixon during the last years of his life. There's a lot of comparisons to Watergate. And even President Trump of the last couple of days is saying this is worse than Watergate. I can say with authority, having known Richard Nixon, having worked for him, talked to him endless times about Watergate, I can say with great authority that what we are witnessing now with these disclosures and all of this information about what was done to Donald Trump, that it is worse than Watergate by magnitudes. They were spying on a sitting president in order to undermine and destroy him, and by extension, the country. The crimes we're talking about here are epic and perhaps the worst in American political history.
Now, Jeffrey Lord, I want to bring you in here. I was just a little, Monica and I are the same age, so we were just little munchkins back during
25.
So that is a long time.
Exactly.
So, I mean, going back to the era of Watergate, it would almost be like the journalist of the time, Woodward and Bernstein, taking the side and defending the people who did the break-in. I mean, this is what we're talking about here, because the media is turning a complete blind eye to all of this.
Well, they are indeed, but I don't think they're going to be able to get away from this. And I have to tell the two of you and your audience, you'll just love this. I'm looking at a tweet from Hillary Clinton in 2016 that reads one sentence: computer scientists have apparently uncovered a covert server linking the Trump Organization to a Russian-based bank. Then she attaches in her tweet on her campaign stationery the title, Statement from Jake Sullivan on New Report Exposing Trump's Secret Line of Communication in Russia. And the very last sentence of Jake Sullivan's statement, bearing in mind that he is now the National Security Advisor to President Biden, his very last line reads, quote, "We can only assume that federal authorities will now explore this direct connection between Trump and Russia as part of their existing probe into Russia's meddling in our elections," unquote. Well, newsflash for Jake, they have, and you are part of the culprit campaign.
It's, I mean, you're, if you go back, guys, and remember our dear friend, the great Rush Limbaugh, he's the guy that coined the phrase the Clinton crime family. I mean, this is he did that.
That is right. I was thinking about this morning. Somewhere I saw a picture of Bill and Hillary Clinton, and I thought, man, these two people have done more to destroy Americans' faith in the election system and election integrity than any two people I can think of in American history. I mean, this is just bad business. It's unethical. I think we're going to find out if people are going to be prosecuted, if it's criminal, whether that reaches to Hillary Clinton herself. But they have made a mess out of all of this, quite deliberately so. And I think now this is going to be a very interesting period because the calls for prosecution will go up.
Now, Monica,
I would suggest it would start with Jake Sullivan. And the question should be asked, what is he doing as the president's national security advisor when he should be going through a prosecution?
Monica, can I just add one name to this conversation? Because we're rightfully focused on Hillary Clinton because it was her campaign. And of course she knew she was directing all of this. But I've sent out a tweet over the weekend, including the name Barack Obama.
Yes.
And I identify both the Clinton and Obama crime syndicates, because this was happening while Obama was president. He was working hand in glove with the Clinton campaign in order to get her elected, to lock in their agenda. So there is no way on God's green earth that Barack Obama, his vice president, Joe Biden, and his CIA director, John Brennan, the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, there is no way that the entire Obama team did not also know and sanction all of these crimes against Trump.
Now,
amen to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeffrey.
Yeah, it is not possible. I mean, when we talk about worse than Watergate, and let's go back to the original Watergate, and you know, there was more than one person involved. There were a whole collection of people, and that's because of the obvious that if you're going to do something like this, you need a network of people to do it. One person can't do something alone. So we are going to find out in detail who all of these people were as I read this filing from John Durham. And that, finally, is a good thing. Let's pull off the mask, so to speak, and see who's underneath.
We have Monica Crowley and Jeffrey Lord on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines. Monica, I want to bring to your attention a piece out of the New York Times. Jonathan Martin was the writer, and they have done a deep dive inside what they're calling Mitch McConnell's campaign to take back the Senate and thwart Trump. And this is a pretty nefarious thing the establishment is doing here. They're quoting people saying that George W. Bush is in on this, Lisa Murkowski, Larry Hogan, the list goes on and on and on. My concern is this. We've got to stop the Biden crime syndicate as well in the midterm elections. And that's the only opportunity we have to do that. And it's also the opportunity we have to get to the bottom of this Spygate story. Monica, what are you hearing in Republican circles? And Jeffrey, I'm going to get you to follow up with after Monica finishes with her response.
Yep.
Well, I think there's going to be a huge red tsunami coming our way in November. That assumes that these elections in each district and state are clean, which is a big assumption. But if they are, then I think we're going to see a Republican landslide. I make sure that Republican establishment candidates are either not on the ballot or, you know, that they lose in the primary system before we get to the general election. Because if we have this Republican tsunami and then we've got a bunch of, you know, rhinos and establishment types who get elected who are just going to stymie the populist Make America Great Again, America First revolution that is going on, that's attracting a lot of independents and disaffected Democrats. It began in 2016 with Trump, but it continues to this day. But if we've got Republicans who are going to stand in the way of that, we got to make sure that we root those people out before we get to November. That being said, I do think that there are, as you say, Todd, a number of Republican establishment types who will stop at nothing to stop Trump from running again. And you will notice that Mitch McConnell used the word insurrection to describe Trump in January 6th. He did that recently, last week or 2 weeks ago. And there is some speculation that I believe it's the 14th Amendment says that if anyone has engaged in insurrection against the United States, they are disqualified from high office. So I would not put it past these establishment types, including McConnell, to join with Democrats in trying to use that as a lever through the January 6th commission to try to block Trump from ever running again.
Fascinating.
Trump has options to overcome that, but you got to keep your eye on that.
Jeffrey Lord.
Yeah, Monica is 100% right here. You know, when you sort of pull back at 30,000 feet, this is of a piece with what's going on with all these Canadian truckers. You've got a real divide between establishment elites in both parties and average middle Americans, middle Canadians, whatever you want to call them, with a group of people, all these elites, who feel they're entitled to tell people what to do to have power to run the country. I certainly saw this. As you know, I worked for President Reagan. I began to notice this when he was first candidate Reagan. And I did a column on this that was titled, Yes, Trump Can Win. I wrote it in 2015. And I'd gone back and looked at all the things these establishment types, people like Nelson Rockefeller and Jacob Javits, Charles Percy, had said about Ronald Reagan in the day. And it was startlingly the same. He's an extremist. He's a racist. He should never be allowed to be the nominee of the party or we'll get clobbered. I mean, on and on and on this stuff went. And, of course, Governor Reagan, former Governor Reagan, finally went on to win the GOP nomination in 1980, and he won the election in a landslide. Now, one of the curious things there, my friend Ed Rollins, who was Ronald Reagan's campaign manager in 1984, wrote his memoirs, and he said in there that in 1980 he was disappointed to realize that George H.W. Bush, who was the nicest of gentlemen, was on the ticket as vice president. And Ed's words are something to the effect that conservatives won, and then we handed our sword to the establishment losers and invited them into our camp. And the next thing you know, eventually when Reagan left office, the establishment took over. And I think, you know, Donald Trump is very much like Ronald Reagan in that respect. And they can't stand him. They cannot abide him. And they will do anything and everything in their power to block he and his supporters. And it doesn't matter whether it's former President Trump himself or whether it's his supporters in various states around the country. This is a problem here. And I think, thankfully, President Trump and his supporters are well on to this. I believe they're on to it right here where I live in Pennsylvania. And good for them.
All right, Monica, Jeffrey, we're going to have to leave it there. A lot of great intel. We appreciate both you you folks, and thanks for coming on the program today.
You bet. Anytime.
Our pleasure.
All right, Jeffrey Lord, Monica Crowley, we have links to all of their pages, Monica's great column. Jeffrey writes an incredible column, and a lot for us to unravel there. But the pace is going to pick up as we move towards the midterm elections, and pay very close attention to something Monica said. The establishment Republicans could very well use insurrection to prevent Trump from legally being able to run for president again. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Your reactions coming up next.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right. Not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word photo to 55404 today to enter. That's photo to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Now, if you missed that interview with Jeffrey Lord and Monica Crowley, you need to go back and download the podcast. It'll be up right after the program today. Folks, that is there's a lot of stuff to glean in that interview. And, of course, our podcast, free of charge, our gift to you as loyal listeners of the Todd Stearns radio program. New York Post is reporting an interesting survey. A large number of Democrats want to see Hillary Clinton investigated over her role in digging up dirt on Donald Trump. Again, this is the New York Post. The survey conducted by the Institute of Policy and Politics in New Jersey, they polled 1,300 Americans. 3 out of 4 who are following the story say they think it's important prosecutors should investigate Clinton for her role in the Russiagate spy scandal. That's, by the way, 66%. That is an overwhelming majority of Democrats. 91% of Republicans say they want Hillary investigated. It's pretty shocking what's going down in Washington, D.C. And it's going to get really interesting when Biden announces his pick for the Supreme Court. He was asked by Lester Holt during that Super Bowl interview about the nomination process for the Supreme Court. He says he's narrowed it down to about 4 people, and we don't know who those individuals are, only that they are black and they're female. And there is still a lot of speculation that it's going to be Kamala Harris. If it is Kamala Harris, if Hillary's under investigation, he's not going to be able to pick Hillary. It could very well be a Michelle Obama that could come in and save the day. Or Biden could have some wiggle room. If he appoints Kamala Harris to the Supreme Court, you have a woman of color. So maybe at that point he would be able to bring in, if it's not Michelle Obama, maybe it's Secretary Buttigieg. At that point, you're allowed to bring in the white gay guy. But I don't think you can bring in the white gay guy if you don't have a person of color on the Supreme Court. I'm trying to still work my way through the race cards and the identity politics cards of the Democrat Party. We'll see. Hey, got to take a break. We'll be right back, America.
Trump was right. Clear back in 2017, he said, they're spying on me. And all the Democrats in the mainstream press said, no, that's not happening. 2 years later, it was Attorney General Barr who said spying took place, and the media and the Democrats had the same reaction. Now we know for sure, in 2022, now we know for sure that they were in fact spying. And it was, as I said yesterday, worse than we thought.
It was worse than we thought, and we thought it was bad. Jim Jordan was on my program when the scandal was first breaking, and we're going to try to get Greg Jarrett on the show because Greg wrote 3 books about this. Jim Jordan was out there, and people were calling him a kook. They were saying, oh, this guy's Alex Jones. No. He was not Alex Jones. There was something there. And Monica Crowley brought up a great point. If you're Donald Trump and your deal is to always be right, you're not going to go out there day after day and lie about something like this. So he knew, Trump knew all along that something was up, that somebody was spying on him. And now the jig is up. Here's more from Jim Jordan on Fox.
Well, they were creating the very news they were then tweeting about and trying to get the media to write about. This is, frankly, it's no different. It's the template that the left uses, that the Democrats use. It's the same thing that happened 4 months ago when we found out the Department of Education went out and solicited the letter from the National School Boards Association so they could do what they wanted to do, namely spy on parents. The same thing happened here. And this is what's so egregious and so wrong about it. I mean, you think about it. They spied on a presidential campaign. That's as wrong as it gets. But then we found out from this filing that they actually spied on a sitting president, which is even worse. So this is just simply as wrong as it can possibly be. Thank goodness that Mike Turner is exactly right. We do need to investigate this stuff, get to every bit of information we can, if in fact the people give us the majority here in a few months.
And we have to hold them accountable once they do. I keep reminding you that the Republicans did have the majority. They controlled the Senate and the House during the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. But the problem was they had establishment Republicans in control. You had Paul Ryan and you had Mitch McConnell. And as the New York Times has so eloquently written, Mitch McConnell is trying to make sure that Donald Trump never runs for office again. This may be it may be impossible. Maybe you folks listening to us in the Commonwealth of Kentucky could give us some guidance here. But it's probably going to be next to impossible to unseat Mitch McConnell. But what we can do is put Republicans up on Capitol Hill that think like us, that are truly conservative. And it would be nice if most of them were fiscal conservatives. But it may be out of the question in Kentucky right now. McConnell's a very powerful man. This is the headline, Inside McConnell's Campaign to Take Back the Senate and Thwart Trump. Jonathan Martin, the author. Senator Mitch McConnell is working furiously to bring allies to Washington who will buck Donald J. Trump. It's not going according to plan. And that's the glimmer of good news here, is that a lot of people are waking up and they're realizing that just because somebody has an R behind their names doesn't necessarily mean they are, in fact, a Republican. I'm talking about you, Susan Collins. And you, Lisa. By the way, you folks, WLOB, you know all about this. And now Susan Collins is going after President Trump. She's got to go. For more than a year, former President Donald Trump has berated Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona, savaging him for refusing to overturn the state's presidential results and vowing to oppose him should he run for the Senate. Well, it turns out, guess who, ladies and gentlemen, has been urging Doug Ducey in Arizona to run for the Senate? None other than George W. Bush. The governor said it's something you have to feel a certain sense of humility about, talking about Bush's appeal. You listen respectfully, and that's what I did. Mr. Bush and a band of anti-Trump Republicans led by Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky are hoping he does more than listen. So there is open warfare now in the Republican Party. You have the establishment Republicans versus the Make America Great Again crowd. Mr. McConnell for years pushed Mr. Trump's agenda and only rarely opposed him in public, but the message he delivers privately now is unsparing. Mr. Trump is losing political altitude and need not be feared in a primary. Is this true? Are you buying this argument? They're saying that Donald Trump is losing his appeal among the voters. And I'm curious to know from you, do you agree with that? Are you sensing that Donald Trump is somehow lesser than he was maybe a year ago? 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Now, remember what John McCain went after the Jerry Falwell Sr., went after Pat Robertson back in the day, agents of intolerance. That's what he called all of you evangelicals. This is John McCain now. So Mitch McConnell, was it Ted Cruz? Is he called Ted Cruz the wacko birds? The Tea Party people. You Tea Party people were the wacko birds. Well, it turns out McConnell has a name for all of you MAGA supporters out there. And I'm going to read here from the New York Times piece. And we know this is accurate because this side of the Republican Party, they love the New York Times. Oh, that's highbrow. So we know it's all accurate. And we know the high-level sources are none other than Mitch McConnell. In conversations with senators and would-be senators, Mr. McConnell is blunt about the damage he believes Mr. Trump has done to the GOP. Privately, he has declared he won't let unelectable goofballs win Republican primaries. Okay, well, what about Herschel Walker? He's running in Georgia. Does Mr. McConnell believe that Herschel Walker is a goofball? By the way, and it's not just McConnell here. Trump has had some issues with the nominees he's made. We've had a couple of guys, Sean Parnell dropping out in Pennsylvania, had that big custody battle thing. So there have been a couple here and there. But the president is going to have to stop relying on whoever he's relying on for these statewide endorsements. By the way, McConnell, you know, they call him Old Crow. And Trump actually called him Old Crow for the first time in that interview we did with him a couple of months ago at Mar-a-Lago. Mr. Trump is backing primary opponents to incumbent governors in Georgia and Idaho. Tried to do it in Massachusetts as well. McConnell, who the president has been referring to as Old Crow, has actually embraced the nickname. McConnell has been inviting donors to a reception. Anybody who gives him $5,000 will take home bottles of Kentucky-made Old Crow brand bourbon signed by Mitch McConnell. And it goes on and on. But among the names here, Lisa Murkowski, we mentioned President George W. Bush. Mitt Romney is mentioned in this article. Here we go. Even more pointedly, Mr. McConnell vowed that if Senator John Thune of South Dakota faces a primary challenge that Trump promised, Mr. Thune will crush whoever runs against him. By the way, Kristi Noem was mentioned as a possible opponent, and she has declined the invitation. Larry Hogan has been sought after by George W. Bush as well as McConnell. McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, was, quote, working over my wife, Mr. Hogan recalled. Her argument was, you can really be a voice. So here we have, ladies and gentlemen, evidence, proof positive, that the establishment Republicans do not want Donald Trump to run in 2020. And they're going to do whatever is necessary to stop his candidates from winning in 2022. So, all right, Todd, what does that mean? Well, it means something very simple, that the establishment Republicans are willing to stay in the minority if it means defeating Donald Trump. That's what it means. They don't care about you. They don't care about the country. These establishment Republicans care about the power they wield. That's what this is really all about. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Patty, listening to us on WSIC, great radio station. Hi, Patty, what's on your mind today?
Oh, boy, here I go. Let me tell you something. Mitch McConnell would not even be in there if it wasn't for Donald Trump. He was losing in the primary. Trump saved him. And I'm sick and tired of putting this guy down. They put him down. Not only did Hillary Clinton, this guy's life's been turned upside down from both sides. Now you got the rhinos. You got George Bush. You know what? You did your father's job. You finished daddy's job from 91. Aren't you happy with that? I am so sick and tired of these rhinos.
Patty, I wish I could say I was surprised at George W., but I'm not. By the way, Liz Cheney, the Times had a piece on Liz Cheney. You know what Liz Cheney is calling all of the people opposing her? And we're talking about a majority of the Republican Party in Wyoming. She's calling them the crazies. That's what she calls the conservatives there in Wyoming.
I'm up there with them. I'm crazy. Because I'm going to tell you something. Her crying, Kissinger, you know, just throw tissues at that idiot. And, you know, the rest of them, I'm sorry, but Mitch McConnell, you're going to lose. You're going to lose because we are standing by Trump. I am, and so is a lot of people. So you know what, Mitch? I'm telling you, it's going to backfire.
Yeah, I'm with you, Patty. I think the rank and file are going to rise up, and their voices are going to be heard, and I don't think McConnell and his ilk are going to like it one bit, which is why Lindsey Graham, who is just wishy-washy, has decided to throw in with Trump, because he knows what's coming.
Oh, well, yeah, Lindsey Graham's another one. Lindsey Graham, whatever fits his narrative. He likes Trump sometimes, then he doesn't like Trump. I mean, it's only when, and now 2022 is coming up. I know there's going to be I'm telling you, we're going to take over. But you know what? Trump will, I don't care. And Hillary, he's right. When he does his rallies and he says, lock her up, lock her up. He was right the whole time. She knew and I think it goes further than Hillary. I think it goes all the way up to the Obama.
Patty, there are enough crumbs leading to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm with you. I've always felt like Barack Obama was behind all of this from day one. Patty, got to run. Great call. Folks, you heard the passion in her voice. She believes that the MAGA conservatives are going to win the day. What about you? 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Like that anymore. You know, Grace, one of the things I was thinking about, I was trying to watch the Super Bowl halftime show, is, man, I wish they had subtitles.
Oh.
You know, just...
You cannot handle the fast hip-hop, can you?
It's hard.
Same with Hamilton.
It's hard to get the, you know, the lingo down.
See, I already knew a lot of the songs, so it wasn't too terribly difficult, but... Mm. I will say I noticed they altered some lyrics, which I was thankful for.
Well, I think they had to.
They had to.
By the way, the NFL now says that Eminem, can we talk about Eminem? Not the candy, but the artist.
Oh, I'd rather talk about the candy.
But he is a nut. So get a peanut
is.
Anyway. Eminem is catching a little bit of fire because he took a knee during his performance.
Mm-hmm.
And as he took a knee for the performance... people were saying he did so in defiance of the NFL. Well, now the NFL is coming out and saying, no, we knew all about it. We knew what it was going to do. Yeah, we got no problem with Eminem. So there you go. Eminem taking a knee in honor of, at first I thought, oh, wow, he's honoring Tim Tebow, you know, taking the knee, praying to, no, he was actually taking the knee to sit in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick.
I'll be honest, I like totally missed that when it happened. I thought he was just like ducking out of the way for the other performer.
Yeah, isn't that sad? Nobody knew it.
No.
He had to come out and tell people, oh yeah, I was protesting.
Yeah,
and then the NFL was like, yeah, what do we care?
Yeah. Well, it's already done.
You know,
what are you going
to
do?
I don't want to raise a stink here. I don't mean to stir the stink that's there, but I couldn't help but notice something. You got a white rapper, all right, taking a knee in solidarity with a black football player. I think what we've got here is a double dose of cultural appropriation.
It's very possible.
Right?
Well, if you're going by the standards that the left is using nowadays, this is true.
From the Daily Dot, Grace Baker, comes this story. A TikTok video user, a guy, has announced he has a plan to deal with his potty mouth fiance. Turns out that he started the year with $360, I guess a buck a day-ish. And he took away a dollar every time the fiance yelled at him. This is from the Daily Dot.
How much was there left at the end?
$40.
Woo!
$40. And by the way, he recorded the fiance. I'm assuming he's still got a fiance.
I'm surprised.
The mouth on her. It would make a Methodist blush.
Dang.
I yelled at him and deductions from the gift fund. The other marking every $20 he saved from the deductions.
My gosh.
He says 9 million views, by the way. This guy says now all she's getting is flowers and chocolates.
Man, and with today's inflation, that 40 bucks won't go a long way.
No, I wonder if she knows about this. I mean, she's got to know about it, right?
She's got to.
Wow. She may end up owing him money by the time it's all said and done. Oh, my goodness. All right, stick around, everybody. It is hour three on this Valentine's Day edition of the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
So apparently there is some sort of an incident happening at the White House. There are a bunch of children there for some sort of a Valentine's Day event. And I'm following along on the White House pool report that just came out. So the children were having an okay time. You know, it's not exact. You know, President Trump knew how to deal with the children. But the Bidens, not so much. And so anyway, somebody thought, all right, we got to get the kids some cookies. Maybe that'll do it. So the first lady is sent out there with a big old basket of Valentine's Day cookies. And the children they start shouting, cookies, cookies. And then there is apparently some sort of a debate over whether the children are supposed to have one cookie or two cookies. Folks, I am not making this up. This is coming out of the White House press pool report right now. We're about to get into a shooting war with Russia, but by God, we're fighting over chocolate chip cookies in the White House right now.
And I'd love kids jumping on my lap.
Thank you, Mr. President. So the first lady settled the controversy. Oh, here it is. The teachers thought they were supposed to get a cookie too. And the teachers were afraid that if the kids got two cookies, there would not be enough cookies for them. I am not making this up. The first lady said she would give the leftover cookies to the teachers. And all the children recited together, "Thank you, Dr. and Mrs. First Lady Biden." And now they're going back to their school. There you go. All right. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. We bring you all the important news and information here. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Congressman Guy Reschenthaler. Congressman, an honor to have you with us today.
Todd, good to be back on. Please just call me Guy. And I gotta say, you are the conservative blowtorch. Always good to be on with you, my friend.
Well, thank you, sir. And the controversy of the cookies aside, there at the White House, we got a lot of really important things to talk about in this country. Not the least of which is what's happening with this filing that John Durham made over the weekend. I want to get your reaction to the allegations listed in that filing.
So I've got a lot of thoughts on these filings. First and foremost, the filings, as your listeners know, shows that the Hillary Clinton campaign was actually spying on Donald Trump, they were fabricating connections between Trump and Russia. And then their advisor at the time, Jake Sullivan, currently the national security advisor, they were going to the FBI, getting the FBI to then do an investigation and once again, spy on the Trump campaign under this pretext. There was coordination and collusion with Russia, which they in turn hacked Trump's emails to create the appearance of collusion. I mean, this is bigger than Watergate ever was. And I'm not downplaying Watergate. This should be a huge story that's played wall to wall on the media, yet you're hearing nothing about it on MSNBC, CNN, the rest of the legacy media. It's just shocking on so many levels, not just the act of spying, but also the act of making false reports to the FBI, weaponizing the DOJ against the presidential campaign, and then the lack of coverage by the media. It is shocking.
And I've heard from people that they're being blocked, or at least their stories are being marginalized on social media when they're trying to share the reporting of folks like Fox News and Newsmax and our website. That is troubling because they are forcing a false narrative down the throats of the American people, and that's a big problem in my estimation.
It's a huge problem. Social media, big tech, the Democrat National Party. They've done this before. They did it with the Hunter Biden story. That's when I was shadow banned, when I was sharing information about the Hunter Biden story with a laptop, et cetera. Big tech cracked down on that story, which turned out to be true, by the way. And they're doing that with this story now, from my understanding. That's why, just as an aside, we've got to break up big tech. We've got to strip away their liabilities. We've got to make them open to lawsuits. And we've got to give people a privacy right in their search history. We've got to do something to hold these big tech tyrants accountable.
Do you believe that we're going to be able to not just get to the bottom of it, which I think John Durham is? I want to know who's going to pay the price here.
There should be prosecutions. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can't just go to the FBI. First off, let's think about what happened. You had members of the Clinton campaign hacking in to servers of President Donald Trump. That is troubling in and of itself. Then when they created through the hack, and by the way, it was a big tech executive that did this, talking about big tech. The guy that did this was a big tech tyrant himself. So big tech goes in, or at least an agent in big tech, creates these emails that show this false collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign. And then they go and give the information to the FBI as if it were true. That in itself is a false report right there to the FBI. And then to sit by silently for 3 years as the Trump administration was undermined and roadblocked at every turn under this ghost of Russian collusion that never happened, that was fabricated by the Clinton campaign, it's shameful. It's unpatriotic. The fact that the DOJ, the FBI, and the Clinton campaign coordinated to some level and hamstring the Trump administration for 3 years. Think about how great, how much even better the administration would have been under Trump had he not had that hanging over his head the whole time.
And that is a great point you're making here. I think that we would be dealing with a second term of the Trump White House right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, had none of this happened.
Wait, we might get a second term of President Trump anyhow.
That's
America
true.
Loves a comeback story, and this clearly gives fuel to a campaign, if he decides to launch it, to show that he was interfered with. It was really ironic. You remember, I was on your show talking about impeachment. I was on the Judiciary Committee during impeachment. President Trump actually got impeached for things that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden did. The hacking into the emails, the collusion, President Biden telling the Ukrainian president that if they didn't back off an oil and gas company that Hunter was on, there'd be a quid pro quo and they wouldn't get any foreign aid. It's despicable and troubling that the Democrats hounded President Trump for actions that they themselves were doing simultaneously while going after the sitting president.
Oh, and again, you know, you talk about those things. I mean, those are the true scandals that they simply refuse to address, especially when right. you had U.S. diplomats warning about those Hunter Biden deals as early as, 2016, if I remember those classified emails that came out. So, I hope that the Republicans are able to retake Congress. I'm pretty confident about the House, the Senate. I don't know. But I do hope that if that happens, that the Republicans are going to hold people accountable.
We will. The name of the game is going to be oversight. We retake the House. We are going to force the legacy media to cover these stories because we're going to make so much noise about Hunter Biden, about the corruption of the Biden family, about how Hillary Clinton, big tech, coordinated on this as well. And Tom, if I could just make one final point. If they, being the Democratic Party, the DOJ, the FBI, big tech, if the powers can be, can do this to a man who is running for president and became the president of the United States, what do you think they can do to the average Joe citizen? Because if you don't think that they're using their powers to go after people selectively, sitting politicians, individuals, think again. Because if they can do this to President Trump, they can do this to any one of us.
Congressman, before we let you go, a bit of breaking news. About 10 minutes ago, Sky News reporting that the U.S. is closing its embassy in Kiev, relocating diplomatic operations to Western Ukraine. We also got word, I'm sure this is a coincidence, that they are moving the press briefing. They're delaying it by an hour. What are you hearing? And it just seems to me that something is just off about all of this.
It's very troubling. Some of the information I got makes it seem like there is going to be an invasion, which is very sad. But moving diplomats might be the prudent thing to do. But the Biden administration and our NATO allies should be doing more to make it very clear to Putin that there will be a price to pay, and not to do it in retrospect once he's already invaded. We should be calling for the sanctions right now. We should be moving forces, and we should be supplying the Ukrainians to an even greater extent than we are. We should be doing that now to prevent an invasion. Everything Biden does is very reactionary. Him leading from behind is not helping anybody. And the weakness and the vacillation that we saw in Afghanistan, don't fool yourself. That weakness and vacillation is what's inviting Putin to think that he can move on the democratic state of Ukraine. And it's certainly what is tempting China, communist China, to try to move on the free and independent nation, another democracy, Taiwan.
All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Great stuff, and good to have you back on the show. We got to get you back on a regular basis.
I would love that. And next time I'm in Memphis, I'm taking you to Rendezvous. I love that place. You and I are having ribs, my friend, next time I'm in Memphis.
All right. Now, Congressman, I know you're a guest, but I gotta set you straight here. It's not Rendezvous. You got no. That's where the tourists go. But if you want some good dry rub barbecue, I'm going to take you down to Central Barbecue. And I'll tell you, it's so good, your tongue's going to slap your brains. It's that good.
I'll be there. You name the place, I'll be there.
All right, we'll make that happen. All right, Congressman, appreciate you. Guy Reschenthaler is the congressman out of Pennsylvania. And, Grace, I hate to do that, but everybody says, we got to go to Rendezvous.
Oh, I cringed when I heard him say that.
Right?
No.
No, no. I mean,
I don't dislike Rendezvous. That's not it. It's just where all the tourists go, and there's so many other spots.
Great barbecue.
That I'm just like...
Folks, listen to me. If you are coming to Memphis, Tennessee, you contact me first, and I will share with you where you need to go.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of great places.
Agreed.
Have you been to Hattie B's for the hot chicken?
No.
It's really good. Out of the Cooper Young District.
Yes.
That's kind of where all the liberals live. No.
Well, there's a lot of good food over there.
That is true.
Not gonna lie.
But you know what's interesting? By the way, I honked my horn at somebody coming in. They were driving 20 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. They had a freaking Biden bumper sticker. And I drive by, and I know I shouldn't have done this, Grace, but I was irritated because traffic was heavy this morning. And I'm like, what kind of a moron drives 20 miles an hour in rush hour traffic when the speed limit is 40 miles an hour? So as I'm passing the person, I glance over, and the person was wearing a face mask by themselves in the car.
Well,
which I think was a Prius, one of those little metrosexual cars.
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, I do.
It's very unfortunate. All right. There was a point to that, and I'm sure I'll remember it, but Congressman, no. God, folks.
Barbecue.
Trust me. Yes, trust me on this. And by the way, if you want to talk catfish, that's a whole other show. We got to go down to the Taylor Grocery down in Mississippi. Have you been down there, Grace? It's near Oxford.
No, I haven't.
Great little place. Kind of. It's like hole-in-the-wall-esque, but sure. They have incredible fried catfish.
Oh.
Some hush puppies, a little tartar sauce. That's good eating now, I'm telling you.
Sounds like it.
There used to be a good place in Coldwater, Mississippi. I'm not sure if it's there anymore, but anyway, I'm really getting off the subject matter here.
It's lunchtime. We're hungry.
It is lunchtime. All right, 844-747-8868. We will take your calls on President Trump. We will take your calls on whether Hillary Clinton is a traitor and should go to jail. And we'll also take your calls on catfish and barbecue. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Well, the ATF is sending out a message to all of you lovebirds out there. I'm going to read this. We have it up on our website, toddstearns.com. This is from the ATF, Biden's ATF. Valentine's Day can still be fun, even if you broke up. Do you have information about a former or current lover involved in illegal gun activity? Let us know, and we'll be sure to make it a Valentine's Day to remember. So there... No, I'm not making this up. This is actually an advertisement from the ATF, paid for by your tax dollars. So there you go. All right. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Richard in Oklahoma, listening to us on KWON, great radio station in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Richard, I understand you have two questions, sir.
Yeah, what's a metrosexual car?
What is a metrosexual car? Richard, I have a two-part answer for you. Number one, it's any car that you have to plug into the wall. And number two, it is if it's anything except a Ford F-150 pickup. So, you know, we like the big pickup trucks.
Oh, what if you own a small pickup?
Well, that's okay. Yeah, as long as you don't have to plug it into the wall, Richard. That's the... By the way, Richard, they did a big story about a battery-powered car that made it from Atlanta to Savannah, Georgia. And they were really excited about that until they realized they were going to have to stay there for another 12 hours to charge the thing back up again. Go figure. All right, what's your second question, Richard?
Okay, I've seen a report on TV that when the Afghan refugees get here and when the refugees at the southern border get here, the first people they meet is the Catholic Charities, and the Catholic Charities sponsor them. And they said that the Catholic Charities get so much from the government for sponsoring them, and the refugees get so much from the government for being refugees. Is that true?
Yes, and it's not just the Catholic Charities that's doing that, Richard. Also, the Baptists are doing that as well. And they're getting just millions and millions of our tax dollars to take care of these people. Yes, sir, that is absolutely accurate.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Well, Richard, glad we're able to help you out there, so appreciate the calls. No, seriously. I mean, if you plug your car into the wall, Gracemaker, I call it a metrosexual. It's like the little, I call them the little metrosexual purse dogs. You know, those little tiny, little furry rat type dogs. And you stick them in your purse.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
Good thing that my new car is not, you know, you don't have to plug it in.
No. And again, I mean, you know, here we are in Memphis, Tennessee, where, by the way, day 12, and there are still hundreds of people without power here.
Unfortunately.
What's going to happen if everybody is driving an electric car?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, no, everybody would be walking to work.
You're right.
Walking down to the Kroger. There's no way.
I mean, walking's good for you.
Yeah, not in Memphis, it's not. That's dangerous. I'm just, what, you know.
Dang.
I mean, look, it's my hometown. I love Memphis, but it's a dangerous place. You know that.
I know. Trust me. I know.
I mean, they're holding up Dollar General stores. Now, that's not the smartest.
But to say, of all the places to rob, I don't understand that.
And that's the problem. We are dealing with, a lot of towns have great levels of, they have criminals of some intellect. We've got morons here in Memphis. I mean, really, what are you going to get, $10 at the Dollar General? Maybe a Snickers bar? I don't know. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. The breaking news. Yep, they're evacuating our embassy in Kiev. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll be right back, folks. Goes out to all you beautiful conservative women across America. This is the Todd Stern Show.
So I sing you to sleep after the loving with a song I just wrote.
Grace, are you swoony or blushing?
Very uncomfortable.
And I hope you can hear.
Are you uncomfortable, Grace? This is our love song to all the beautiful conservative women of America.
Okay.
This is the great part about being a conservative, by the way. The women are good looking.
So that helps.
And they can cook and shoot
everything
guns.
Face to face.
Grace, do you and Mr. Producer have a song?
Yes, our wedding song.
Is it this song right here?
No.
What? This
the
is
way
a great
you look
song.
Tonight by Steve Carell.
Oh.
Not the French
Steve
Sinatra.
Carell?
No.
The guy from
Tyrell.
The Office?
T Y R.
Oh, I see. welcome back, everybody. So that song you heard. Performed by a guy by the name of Arnold George Dorsey. And this leads us to a trivia question. You see, we did all of this for the trivia. We need to know what you may know that singer, that voice. He went by the name Arnold George Dorsey. But what was his professional name? If you know the answer, give us a call. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. 68. All right, welcome back to the program. Always good to have you with us today. And we are very honored to have a guest with us, an author who has really been causing a kerfuffle in Hollywood. The name of the book, Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. Christian Toto is an award-winning journalist and film critic, runs HollywoodandToto.com. And by the way, we have a link to the website on our live show blog. Christian, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me. I love the word kerfuffle. I'm so happy you brought that up.
You know, trying to work it in, you know, those words people don't use anymore. You know what I mean? It's...
I know.
No need to have boring language around here. Christian, I'm curious about your book. I mean, we certainly see the wokeness in Hollywood. Why did you decide to write a book about this?
Well, you know, we see some of these stories, virtue signaling gone crazy, actors apologizing for taking roles. And heaven forbid they do that. And, you know, we can chuckle at it and we can laugh at it and we can ignore it. But it really is part of a bigger picture. It is the clamping down of free speech and creativity in Hollywood, in the creative community. And also, obviously, what happens in Hollywood spreads outside of Hollywood. We've seen that with universities attacking free speech. Hollywood is doing the same. So it does matter. You know, I think we can put our heads in the sand and say, you know, the pop culture doesn't matter, but it does. It does influence us. And I wanted to kind of call it out.
You know, when I was a kid growing up, a big comic book fan, loved the movies, the action-adventure movies, and now it's like every other day, you know, let's say a Superman is gay, Batwoman's a lesbian, Robin's bi, and Aquaman is doing something inappropriate with a dolphin. I mean, you wonder, whatever happened to just being entertained at the movies instead of having an agenda shoved down your throat?
Yeah, you know, I think it's very interesting that conservatives aren't pining for propaganda from the right. We just want to be entertained, tell good stories, and not get sucker punches mixed in with our entertainment. And that's what we get off it. It's Hollywood thinks that they can send a message. They do it sometimes in quiet and subtle ways. Sometimes it's very obvious. And they are using their power, the soft power of culture that they have, against half the country. And, you know, they see no signs of stopping that. They don't mind if some of these woke movies and TV shows bomb, which they often do. They want to send that message, and they're willing to lose some cash sometimes to have that happen.
Are they not getting it? Because, again, it seems to me that the box office is struggling. They're going to blame the China virus, but I think it's just people are they don't want to spend good money to be preached to.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it, and I don't think they get it. Hollywood is a very bubbled community. They speak in one voice. They don't listen to a show like this. I fear they don't read a book like mine, and they don't get it. You know, people on the right just want to be entertained, and if they're not getting that, we look for other platforms. Maybe we kind of go for older films. I've been watching a lot of movie comedies that were maybe 10, 20 years old just because there's nothing new that's hilarious these days. But I don't think they're getting the message. You know, remember with the George Bush years, there was all those anti-Iraq war movies. There was that 8 to 10 that flopped before Hollywood realized, oh my gosh, no one wants to see these movies. So I'm hoping they will wake up at some point, but we're not there yet.
No, well, yeah, I think you're right about that. I'm wondering if it's going to get any better or if this is just the lay of the land. I mean, you've been doing the research here. What do you think?
Oh, it will get worse before it gets better. I think what we have to see, you know, good for the Daily Wire, they're making movies that are outside the woke system. We were seeing a lot of comedians who are doing great work on podcasts and YouTube, and they're kind of working around the Hollywood ecosystem. So I think there are glimmers of hope and ways you can kind of get content that is more engaging. But I think as far as where it's going, you know, every other day there's a new gender-flipped reboot. The Lord of the Rings is hinting it's going to be woke, and that's a massive project from Amazon. So I think we're just going to have to expect more of the same until Hollywood realizes that they're going to keep losing money if they do it.
You know, a lot of people ask, okay, what is the solution here? How do you fight back against the woke culture?
It's complicated, but we are not helpless. You know, if the Daily Wire is doing something that's pro-freedom, then, you know, certainly support them if you can. If you see a crowdfunding campaign for a movie like My Son Hunter, which is being made right now and coming soon, support that. You know, use social media to kind of spread the word about projects that align with your values. There's PureFlix, which offers sort of faith-friendly storytelling. There is stuff out there. We can do something. We can use our economic clout to push things that we want to see more of. So I think we all collectively have to do that in our own fashion. I'm a journalist. I'm not rich. I can't write big checks, you know, and pay for these things, but I can spread the word about them, and we can all do that.
No, you see, yeah, I like this idea, and it's not about boycotting. It's just being wise about where you spend your money, where you spend your resources, and it makes perfect sense to me. Again, folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Christian Toto, author of a great new book, and one you need to read if you want to understand what's going on with Hollywood, Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. All right, Christian, man, congratulations on the book, and we've got a link to it over on our page, and you're writing. You write for just about everybody these days.
I'm trying to keep busy. Yeah, I tell you what, I do work for the Daily Wire, Newsbusters, justthenews.com, and the New York Post as well. So I just want to spread the word. I really do. And, you know, I love Hollywood. I love content. I love movies. And I want that back, you know, and I think we all do.
And honestly, on the other side of that is you want to make sure the movies are good and there's good storytelling. And I know coming from, you know, the faith-based world, some of those early movies were like, geez, aloo, you know, can we just not tell a good story? You know, it's again, I think you've got to be careful on both sides of the aisle here.
Yeah, and I think that the faith-based genre has done well. I think there's been a real maturity there. Look at The Chosen. It's super successful.
Amazing.
It's a wonderful
amazing
show.
Series, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's real progress there, and I'd love to see it.
I got to be honest. Have you seen Yellowstone?
I've seen the first few episodes. I'm late to the party. It's good so far, and It is a massive hit, and it really speaks to the heartland. And, it, you know, I think that for every 10 stories written about movies like Don't Look Up, which is all about climate change, you see maybe one or two about Yellowstone. I think Hollywood and the media covering Hollywood is really missing the story. That is a sensation. The numbers for that show are huge.
Unbelievable. The prequel, 1883, is probably one of the most beautifully filmed. The cinematography, unbelievable. And we were talking to Governor Kristi Noem on the show last week, you know, the governor of South Dakota. She's a big fan. So I think a lot of people just appreciate the unwokeness of the TV series, to be perfectly blunt about it.
Yeah, another example is Reacher, which is new to Amazon Prime. I spoke to the Lee Child, who wrote the whole Jack Reacher series, and I said, you know, this seems like a very masculine hero. He's unapologetically strong. He doesn't, you know, he just kind of barrels forward. He's smart, too. He said, yeah, that was on purpose. That is my character. We want to bring that to the screen. It was renewed for a second season in a heartbeat. So I think people are responding to things that may be a little bit old school, that maybe speak to those values as well.
So we're so far off the trail here. But to that point, I was a huge Chuck Norris fan, and I heard they were doing a remake of Walker, Texas Ranger. And they may as well have, I mean, the guy was, the character has been completely emasculated. And it's just horrific what they've done to that once great, you know, masculine kind of a modern day John Wayne character. And but to your point, it's sad what Hollywood has done.
Yeah, they do this with a lot of franchises. You know, Terminator went woke, Charlie's Angels. They took sort of the glamour away from it. It happens again and again and again. They don't get the message. And by the way, Spider-Man No Way Home is beautifully unwoke, super entertaining, and it's breaking all sorts of box office
records.
It
is indeed. And Grace Baker is shaking her head vigorously in agreement with you on that. So, all right, Christian, look, we're going to get you back on. Always appreciate your great insight into what's happening in Hollywood, and best of luck to you out there on the book tour.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. The name of the book, ladies and gentlemen, Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. We have a direct link to it on our live show blog. All right. We had a question. We wanted to know who sings this song. Oh, I love this song. This was like the jam back in the 1970s for like Mom and her group. So, hold on now, Grace. We got to have a little bit of music here. It's Valentine's Day.
So I send you to sleep after.
You know, there are women swooning right now, and perhaps some men, but mostly women. We don't judge. We don't judge here.
You can hear.
Maybe some truck drivers out there. Who knows? All right, let's go to the phones. And a lot of people think they know who this is. The singer Arnold George Dorsey. British guy, but he went by another name when he was up on stage. All right, let's you know what we're gonna do too. It's Valentine's Day. I feel very giving today, and we're gonna go to Gail in North Carolina on the talk station. Hi, Gail, how are you?
I'm very well, Ty. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, and Gail, I have to ask you. I don't want you to give us the answer just yet, but. Are you
okay?
When you hear this singer, do you swoon a little bit, Gail?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
I'm that old, I guess.
No, you're not old. Trust me, Gail, you're not old. All right, so Gail, hang tight. I want to bring in Randall from Georgia on WDUN. Randall, how are you today?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for asking there, Tom.
Randall, are you swooning as well, Randall?
Not exactly.
Okay, it's okay.
You know, I've heard the song as a little kid.
All right. Well, Randall and Gail, we've got you on together here. And, we're going to give both of you guys, if you get it right, we're going to give both of you guys a copy of my new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. On the count of three, Randall and Gail, tell us who this singer is. One, two, three.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yes! We're all winners and lovers on the Todd Stars Ready. Sing along, Randall and Gail and America. After loving. Lord help us. You know, I don't think Rush ever did this. So, Randall, Gail, hang tight. Grace is going to get your info. We're going to go to break and figure out what just happened here. We'll be right back, America.
And I know that my song isn't saying anything new.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, let me give you some breaking news here, a little update on what's happening in Ukraine, and this will be developing throughout the night, I suspect. Wall Street Journal now reporting the State Department has ordered the destruction of computers and telephone systems at the embassy in Kiev. The president of Ukraine says they now expect the Russians to invade on Wednesday. And we're also getting word that the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Kiev, is being evacuated and being relocated. That's what they're telling us. So there's a Pentagon briefing going on now. We told you, do not be surprised if this had something to do with the delay in the White House press briefing, which has been delayed for about an hour or so. And again, President Zelensky now acknowledging that Russian forces will attack on Wednesday. He made the announcement on Facebook. Wow. Could you imagine? I mean, it's like, I mean, I wonder if he used an emoji to announce the geezaloo. Anyway, he says, great people of a great country. There have been serious external and internal challenges in front of our country. And he goes on to say that we are intimidated by a great war and once again set the date of the military invasion. It's not the first time, but our state is stronger today than ever. Well, look, we wish them the very best. And I think that we do have an obligation to provide them whatever weapons, whatever resources we can provide. There's no reason at this point for American troops to be on the ground. We'll say this, though. If the Russians do attack and invade and take Kiev, they are not too far away from the Polish border. And at that point, it becomes a big problem. So the question now is, what is Biden going to do? Because he's sort of, Biden has painted us into a corner here, and he's been threatening everything but a shooting war with the Russians over this. So it is going to get pretty dicey over the next, I would say, 48 to 72 hours. We will keep you updated on what's happening. But the breaking news, the State Department closing the embassy in Kiev, and they are destroying the computers even as we speak. It's Valentine's Day here in this country. Grace tried to get dinner reservations, like, and by dinner reservations, I meant 2:30.
Good luck.
Can't get a reservation.
Nope.
I mean,
it's
everybody
gonna be that way all day.
Swamped. So what was this song of yours again?
The Way You Look Tonight, but the version from Father of the Bride, not Frank Sinatra.
Oh, is this it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is a great song.
Very good song.
I thought it was one of your, you know, headbanging rap songs, but no, this is nice.
It's a wedding song.
So you guys dance, is this, you and Mr. Producer dance to this?
Yes. Just coordinated and everything.
I like this song.
I like this version better than Frank Sinatra because this one's slower. And the way
you I love it. Well, look, folks, what better way to go out on what is a crazy news day? It's going to be kind of chaotic out there tomorrow, but you know what? We're going to get through it together, and we're just going to go to break with a little bit of music on this Valentine's Day. You folks go hug somebody. Hopefully you're, you know, related to them. If not, well, good luck to you. Get out there. Be good, America, and happy Valentine's Day.
For me but to love. Just the way you look tonight.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.